Hello, everybody. JC here. I hope you had a nice weekend. For me, it's a Monday, so I don't know what time it is at your place when you're watching this. But anyway, welcome to the show. I don't know if I can call this a show because I'm not really doing it like regularly enough. It's just whenever I have time, right? So, but okay, I have to call it something, I guess. Yeah. So. I'm still just very busy with stuff. There's a lot going on, but like I did in my last video, today I'm gonna talk about another Skeptalk video that I watched, and I'm just gonna offer my two cents on it, basically. And this one is an episode that was aired on, so this one is March, no, it's April. So April 21st, 2023. It was with Aaron Ra and Mr. Deity. There was a bunch of callers, and I'm just going to go one by one. And just, you know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Okay, so the first caller is this guy called, who calls himself Helios from Serbia. Now, like, okay, in high school, I actually had a... Oh, no, he was Bosnian, okay. Yeah, Bosnia and Serbia, don't like each other very much. So probably a bad comparison there. Anyway, yeah, he's from Serbia. He actually called many times now. And I think, like, okay, it depends what you want to get from the call. Like, personally, I don't get that much from his call, other than, okay, this is kind of the situation in Serbia, and, you know, everything is bad, and stuff like that. So it feels more like a call about just, okay, complaining about Serbia, more than, more kind of general conversations. And, you know, look, it's fine, because anybody can call in as long as they have something interesting to say, but it just feels more like a kind of lecture on Serbia, which is not, I don't know, for me, like, it's not really fun. But anyway, maybe some people like it, I don't know. The point that he brought up, and this is a very valid point, I thought, is he asked about, okay, how can we convince people? So what he's saying is that, okay, I believe he's an atheist. So what he's saying is, okay, here we have a bunch of religious people, like in the States, right? We have still about 70% that identify as Christians. So you have all this bunch of people that believe in God or some form of God, because we know there are so many denominations in Christianity, okay? So if you just randomly pick two Christians, like, let's say, like, I don't know, one from California, one from New York, and you put them in the room together, and, you know, you ask them questions about what they believe, it's very likely that their answers will be different. Even though they claim to both be Christians under that umbrella term, they can still believe very, very different things. Maybe, you know, maybe one of them thinks, like, eating shrimp is fine, but the other one maybe thinks it's kind of paramount to a sin, and obviously they don't agree on that. But if you go down the list, I'm sure there's a lot of things that they don't agree on. So in that case, yeah, they don't belong to the same denomination, probably. That's the only conclusion you can draw there. Or if they start saying, okay, this is like the religion I believe in, this is a fallacy. I believe it's like a Scotsman, not no true Scotsman, I believe. That's the name of the fallacy. And so the no true Scotsman fallacy, it goes like this. An apologist might say, well, no Christian could ever commit genocide. But okay, if we look at history, we find many, many people who at least claim to be Christians who committed genocide. If you look at, for example, the Crusaders, you know, before charging into battle, they would often yell some kind of religious slogan, like Deus lo vult or something like that. Like, God wants this, I believe. That's, I'm not sure. what exactly it means. But yeah, definitely a lot of murder was committed in the name of the Christian God. Now, a lot of murder was also committed in the name of the Islamic God, and so on and so on and so on. So when you try to convince people, first of all, it's really, 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 really difficult. You have to, the first question you really have to ask yourself is this worth your time? This happens very often on my page, where some people, you know, get involved in some kind of long debates with me, but they come from the point of view of, you know, faith, total conviction in their faith. They're not interested in listening to what I have to say. They just come to preach, basically, on my page and in my comment sections. And if I engage that, like 99.99999% of the time, it's an absolute waste of time, waste of my time, I should say, especially, because in their mind, it's just, okay, I want to preach, you know? But it, in my, from my point of view, it's just a complete waste of time. And all it does is, at the end of the day, most likely I will ban them. Because again, I'm not interested in people who just come to the page to preach. I really, really don't need these type of people on my page. And I don't care how many I have to ban. If it's 5,000, then it's 5,000 that have to go. If it's 10,000, it's 10,000. Like, I don't care. I'm not interested in talking to preachers, to pastors, to like actual pastors. Do you really think that that dude is gonna change his mind? If people like Matt Dillahunty can't change his mind, what chance do I have, right? I mean, there's no chance. And they're not interested in that anyway. They're not interested in changing their minds. They just come to preach. God, Jesus. How great it is and how wonderful it is. Yay. And I'm just not interested in any of that. I'm sorry. So, look, this is very simple. If you don't agree with my method, if you don't like my method that, you know, I ban some people, although I, like, look, the page has been up for more than 10 years. The number of people I banned is really, really small if you consider 10 years of time. But if you really, even if you don't like this approach, that's fine. I'm not claiming this is the ultimate way. I'm not claiming to be the best debater either, or, you know, it's not my job. Nobody, like, I don't get any money from this whatsoever. I really just do this in my spare time. And if I don't feel like doing it in my spare time, I just do something else. But look, I am spending a bit of time on this because, like, for me, it's important. But I know very well that I'm not going to be able to convince like an actual pastor. He's not interested in that whatsoever. He just wants to run his business. He wants to keep it running, basically not have a job, but still make money, okay? Because a pastor is not a real job. It's absolutely a fake job. It's one of those. So yeah, but look, if you disagree with my methods, that's fine. You're free to disagree. Freedom of choice. You are also free to start your own page. Promote it. Do whatever you want. You can make videos. You can make. You can post memes. You can engage with people, and see how that works for you. Because once the trolls come in, I really wonder how you would deal with them, okay? And look, again, we're like, if I was doing this show, I don't know, like in the 80s or the 90s, there would be a possibility that I would be more lenient because it's a new thing. I mean, okay, the internet didn't exist back then, but if it did, I would say like, yeah, okay, it's a new thing, it's a novelty, so okay, let's just kind of allow this very, very open kind of forum, right? But now we're in 2023. We've already seen like countless bad arguments. Do we really need to see more? Like, I don't understand this attitude from some people. It's like, what's the point? Like, if let's say you have 1,000 pastors who come on my page and, you know, write bullshit in the comments all the time, do you really think that's good? Do you really think that's a positive thing to do? I don't think so. I mean, okay, it doesn't happen anyway, because, like I said, the number of people I banned is very, very small indeed over a period of 10 years. But I just, like, okay, like, if you have a better method, please go ahead, do it. You know, start your own page, you know, gather like 20,000 followers. Like, my page has about 17, 18,000 followers. So go for it. Get your 20,000 people and, you know, like, be fair. Don't just collect atheists, but collect theists as well. Like, be relatively open, at least in your promo, and, you know, see how that works for you. Go for it. Make your own podcasts. Invite, you know, have other guests on the show, have conversations, maybe start a call-in show. Like when atheists and theists could call you. Actually, I wanted to do that, but it just never happened because, again, I just don't think, judging from the statistics, most people were not really watching the shows. And again, I'm not really familiar on how to set up a call-in show in particular. I mean, I know like there's Skype, but yeah, I'm not sure how that works, to be honest. But I was interested in that at some point. I still am to a certain extent, but I just don't know how technically it will work. And again, like, time constraints, man. I just don't have that much time anymore. So I have other priorities in life. I mean, again, 10 years ago, it would have been cool. Now, my reality is different. And please respect that. Because I respect other people's life. Like, what, you know, real life, I mean. You know, if they have to do some appointment suddenly or whatever. Like, real life. Real life shit comes first. And I respect that. But it seems like some people who come into the comments section of my page, they don't respect my time. They don't value that, okay, I actually also have free time. And if I commit to debating somebody, I'm sacrificing my free time. And they take that for absolutely granted. It's like, okay, I should engage them and I should, you know, spend my time talking to them. But why they think that way? Who do you think you are? Like, why are you entitled to my time? You're not. Nobody's entitled to anybody's time, okay? And that's why I also engage very, very minimally. Sometimes I will, most times, sorry, I could, but man, no time for you. No time to cover everybody. There's like thousands of people on my group. Do you really think I have the time to engage everybody individually? I mean, that would be cool. Yeah, that way I would actually get to know some people more, and that's cool. But time, man, where do you find the time? So anyway, trying to convince people, the Helios point, I don't know. This is I mean, I think most of the time you're just going to completely waste your life engaging people, to be honest. But sometimes it is worth it. I think we have to remember that when it comes to religion, what percentage of religious people are really, really, like, you know, hardcore believers? Well, what's the percentage? Like, it's a real question. What do you think is the percentage? Is it like 5%, 10%? I think it's probably like 20% real hardcore believers, you know? Like, these people who are willing to stand on the corner every week and preach, basically. I think, like, most of them are probably in the middle. Like, yeah, they believe for various reasons. Maybe it's because of their parents. Maybe they don't want to upset their parents, or, you know, they don't want to make grandma angry. But on the other side of the coin, they're also really doubting their faith, and they're like, okay, you know, what am I doing? Like, is this worth it? And those are the people who you should probably engage. Don't engage the pastors. the rabbis. I mean, it could be an interesting conversation if you're, you know, it depends on the topic. But if you're trying to convince them, though, I think it's just forget it. You're not going to do it. I don't care who you are. I mean, maybe Hitchens could do it, but you're not on the Hitchens level. Let's be honest there. Very few of us are. So, yeah, unless you're the next, Christopher Hitchens reincarnated, I don't think even go for it. But if it's people kind of half doubting their faith, like on the fence, then go for them because they're much more open to what you might have to say. That's all I would say here. So good luck with that, though. But he mentioned a very kind of specific category of people. He mentioned one guy who was anti-abortion, homophobe, a young earth creationist, an incel, who thinks that women are property. He believes all the COVID conspiracies and, of course, is a Trump lover. And he, remember, this particular person is not an American. Okay, this is like a Serbian person. And this is very interesting because I knew this one guy in Switzerland who was a Russian. He is about my age. And he was also a Trump lover. And he, like, when I checked his Facebook group, Facebook page, Facebook profile, I noticed, like, he surrounded himself with, like, Trump people. And so, yeah, it's absolutely like this echo chamber, right? And, yeah, it's just insane. Like, it's just crazy. But, yeah, I mean, if you take all of these categories, like anti-abortion, homophobe, young earth creationist, like, honestly, you're not going to convince that type of person, man. They're going to take that idiocy with them to the grave, man. That's just the way it is. It's very, very, very unlikely that that type of person will ever, you know, be a productive member of society. So, yeah. That's it for Helios. Let's move on. And the next one was Zach. So Zach had a problem interacting in forums. And he basically asked, like, what's the best way to interact? Okay, so this comes back to what I just said about my page. Like, some people, you know, like some hardcore theists come to my page just to preach. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And again, you can engage them, right? They don't, you know, they post a comment. You're free to respond to the comment. But you have to ask yourself, before you respond to anything, you have to ask yourself, is this going to be worth your time? We are mortals, and our time is limited. Like in my case, for example, I have a very kind of weird disease, and especially, I would say like 6-7 months ago, I guess, I really thought that it was over. Like, I was feeling very bad. And, you know, I was feeling kind of like fainting often. And obviously, if you feel like fainting, you don't know if you're going to wake up from that. Let's say, like, you fall into a coma and you just don't know what's going to happen, right? So I really felt like maybe it was over. And obviously, in that kind of scenario, I would engage people even less. I would totally focus more on my stuff, like finishing some games I have to finish, just to kind of complete that in my life. And obviously, I would totally just focus on my own things. Screw the rest. But yeah, you have to ask yourself first, is it worth engaging certain people? If you think it is worth it, then you better have good arguments for your positions. I would say, like, the majority of theists have very weak arguments. It's probably things that you've heard over and over again, and they've been debunked a million times. And you can just Google them. Like, you can take certain arguments and just add the word debunked in Google search, and it will just list you up like those arguments already debunked. And that's a good way to, at least like you would have some kind of foundation. Don't use the exact same responses, but you can use that as a foundation for your own responses. And that's a good way to learn also, to kind of improvise to your own replies, not just for what the internet says. But interacting forums. Look, in the forums especially, because he's not talking about Facebook, he's talking about some actual forums. Do they still exist? Well, I mean, yeah, I guess some forums still exist. It's pretty rare though, I think, these days. Anyway, in forums, you're gonna get a lot of trolls. And they're gonna say some wild shit. And that shit is not even like true. I mean, they're just trolling. I mean, they're not like, they just wanna. What do trolls really want? They want people to engage their troll post, and that way they feel, what's the word? Like, you know, they feel like satisfaction. That's what they want. They want to rile people up. They want to get under your skin. There are people like on some Facebook pages. For example, okay, I'll give you one example because it's really silly. Okay, on some football pages, and I mean like football, soccer for Americans, but it's football for the record. Okay, so if you go to any football page, there are always trolls who come on every thread, and it doesn't matter what the team is, they will always post something about Ronaldo or Messi. Like, Ronaldo is the best player or Messi is the best player, vote now. Some crap like that. And they do it on every single fucking post. And of course, what do you expect? Of course, many people get pissed off and tell them to fuck off and tell them to, you know, leave the page and stop posting that garbage. But none of that matters. They don't care. They're not going to go away. The next post that comes, that is uploaded, they're going to post the same shit again and again and again. So there is no point to engage these type of people. So you have to understand, first of all, like who are you talking to in these forums? Is it a troll? Is it like a you know, a pastor who's just preaching and he's not interested in listening to the other side whatsoever? You have to identify who it is, and then you can go for it. But like I said, 99.99% of the time, chances are you're just completely wasting your time, and you're better off doing something else. That's my conclusion. So how to interact in forums? Well, maybe don't. Okay, next we had Samantha, and she said, I'm picking up things that they didn't talk about on the show, okay? That's another thing. So they usually answer something else on the show, and I'm really kind of picking things that they didn't talk much about, and that's kind of the point of these videos, I should say, because I'm going to make more. So Samantha is kind of a theist, I guess. Although I think she's like half atheist already. Anyway, she said she joined the church. She joined a church in England for the community. Well, okay, so that's the argument, or that's, you know, that's the statement. Look, this is a very common thing. Like, many people join the church for the community. My advice here is very simple. Look, I know that, like I said before in a previous video, at the end of the day, most people are very lonely, actually, and you will die alone. Look, this is a fact. I mean, you can be surrounded by people, sure, but at the end of the day, your death is yours alone. Okay, you will die by yourself. and everybody else around you will still be alive, but you yourself will be dead. So, joining the church for the community, my advice is just, if you're looking for a community, then why not join some other community? Just go to meetup.com or something and find some actual group that, you know, you might be interested in. It could be a sports group, could be like a golfing or, you know, tennis, something like that. It could be a kind of science meetup group. It could be just anything that is not religious. Why? I mean, why would you go to something religious, really? What's the point? You're just going to waste your time. I mean, at least go find a community where you can, you know, do something. I mean, even if a sports thing, it's good for the health. You're going to be moving and, you know, breathing hopefully fresh air outside. It's good for your body. Religion will not do any good for you at all. So just find a community that is actually beneficial for your personal growth. Religion is detrimental for your personal growth. So don't go for it. And the other thing she said is she still believes because of prophecies. So this is a point that, to be honest with you, I haven't really checked the prophecies in depth, so I don't know. I can't comment too much. But I did listen about it before, and a lot of them are bullshit, okay? And a lot of them are very vague. I mean, Christians for like, I don't know, the past nearly 2,000 years have been saying that, you know, it's the end times, it's the end times. How many generations of Christians have already died, and each of them believing that we are in the end times? Like, literally end times. I mean, I'm not saying just like a war or, you know, just some kind of big flood that wiped out a city. They're talking about literally the end of the world. So, like, maybe kind of like a nuclear holocaust or something like that. Or, you know, some kind of big asteroid, like, literally wiping out everything on the planet. Kind of like what happened with dinosaurs before, although that didn't wipe out all the life on the planet, obviously, because we're here. But yeah, so this kind of thing just didn't happen for 2,000 years. Look, I think eventually, if we end up having some kind of nuclear war, and that is the end of humankind, then they can say, well, see, I was right. But this is just like, okay, that's not you being right. The prophecy is vague. It's kind of like Nostradamus. He predicted a bunch of crap. And people then, you know, try to fit the shoe on the elephant's foot. And that's just not how it works. That's not how reality works. You can't, like, you shouldn't do that because it's vague. It's a fallacy of ambiguity, I think. So check it out on the internet. Then we had, I'm not sure about how to pronounce the name, Siobhan in Ireland. The only point I picked up from that call is the death with dignity thing. So yeah, this is a kind of hot debate in some places, whether you should be allowed to make a decision to die, basically. I know, like, in some countries they have this. Voluntary suicide, I think it's called. Another word for it, anyway. I think in the Netherlands they had it. In many, probably in other countries as well. Obviously, like, my point is, okay, yeah, it should be allowed. And again, a lot of people kind of jump to very fake conclusions about it. They say, like, well, you know, if this is allowed, then millions and millions of people will basically want to do that. And that's just not true. That's not true. That absolutely, those numbers are pulled out of the ass. There's no evidence to suggest that people will start, you know, killing themselves en masse like that. But the people who have a terminal illness, who suffer every day, I can see definitely, like, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, if they say, you know, I can't take it anymore, I want to die, this is my choice, then they should have the right to do that. It's just as simple as that. And from the religious point of view, so some states in the US apparently, like, want to, like, block that or ban that. And I just think that's, you, like, in a Christian mindset, you're allowed to die, but I mean, yeah, you can't commit suicide because that's a sin, I think, and you're definitely not allowed to die with mercy, and that's the other thing. So yeah, if you're sick, you're very sick, you're suffering every day, they will just say, well, yeah, but you have to suffer. What is your suffering compared to the suffering of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, he suffered the most for us, so you should suffer too. It's the whole, like, Mother Teresa thing again. It always comes back to that as well. She didn't run hospitals. She ran death clinics. People came there. People came to those clinics to basically die. But not just die, but die in pain, die in suffering. And, you know, if people wanted some kind of way out, they would just be told, yeah, but you have to suffer because, you know, Jesus suffered for you. Jesus suffered the most. And what is your suffering compared to his suffering, right? So you should suffer even more. And then you will be rewarded in heaven. Oh, it's such bullshit. Oh, fucking hell. Anyway, yeah, that's my point on that. And finally, the last quote was Trudy. I don't want to go on for too long here. She basically said she felt bad while praying. She felt nothing while praying. And she thought that something was wrong with her. So, again, this is kind of a religious thing. They want to shame you. They want to make you guilty in one way or another. Somehow, like, you're gonna be guilty of something, and that's what they want. They want you to feel guilty, and they want you to feel sinful, that you're full of sin. Actually, no matter how hard you try, you're still gonna commit a few sins now and then. And so, yeah. And of course, they will also put a lot of guilt on you if you tell, let's say, a pastor or a priest that, hey, you know, I pray. But, you know, I just don't feel anything at all. Like, so, and they're going to tell you that, well, something is wrong with you. You're not praying right, or you're not praying hard enough, that you need to pray more, basically. And then, you know, you'll be, like, enlightened. But, of course, it's all bullshit. No, if you pray and you feel nothing, that's actually how it works. Spoiler alert. That's how it works. Prayer does absolutely nothing. Just because you close your eyes and you say some crap, it's not going to do anything. I mean, positive thinking, okay, positive thinking is a thing, okay? Like, there are many, many people, many athletes, for example, who they had a broken leg or something like that, they end up being, you know, they need months and months of recovery, obviously. And, okay, there are kind of three routes you can go. One route is to think positive. One route is basically, like, don't care, just time will do its job. And third one is to think negative. It's like, well, this is really terrible, and, you know, my career is probably over, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your career could be over, okay? That's just how it could be. But for most athletes, it's not. And they are able to recover and maybe, you know, participate again in sports, basically. So many, many examples of athletes who, you know, kind of condition themselves positively every day, and their recovery is a bit faster usually than other people, but it depends on the injury, obviously. But yeah, positive thinking is a thing. It's also just in real life. If you think that every day, you know, this is the end, and everything is bad. Everything irritates you, everything is terrible, chances are you're going to attract negativity to you as well. But you have to be careful here, because there's a lot of like very kind of positive people out there, and they're just like positive vibes, dude. And in my experience, they tend to be very delusional. They're not attached to reality. They live in this kind of very fantasy world where everything is pink clouds and unicorns. And even if you try to bring in facts into an argument, for example, okay, if I talk to an American, positive vibes type of person, and if I tell them, okay, well, America is actually not that great because, 50, it depends on the measurements, but like 50 to 70% of workers work paycheck to paycheck, these type of people will probably deny my argument. They're going to say, well, no, that's not possible, because around me, people are very well off, and this person bought a house last year, and this person bought an expensive sports car this year. So obviously, your statistics cannot be true. And this is a very dangerous state of mind, because, yeah, this is not like even a religious thing. It's just like you live in this kind of like fantasy world where like your life might be okay. And, that tiny circle of people in your environment could be very well off indeed, but that does not represent most people, though. Most people could still be suffering indeed and be living paycheck to paycheck, and they can't afford healthcare, etc., etc., etc. Just because your life is good, quote unquote, it doesn't mean that everybody else's life is good as well. Just because you earn, let's say, I don't know, 200K a year, it doesn't mean that everybody else earns 200K a year. But these people have like convinced themselves that that's the case. And it's not like a religious thing. It's just like, yeah, this kind of like this positive vibes universe they live in, like a real bubble. So just be aware of those people too. She said, is religion mind abuse? Well, yes, it is, of course. Look, children, just try to picture yourself when you were like 3, 4, 5, like, okay, like, let's say 3 years to 10 years old. Were you like a very like super rational type of kid? I wasn't. I mean, like, yeah, I was kind of just the average kid on the block. I was average at school. I was just bang average everywhere. And of course, when you talk about some very kind of serious like moral issues, morals, ethics, of course there are some things I understood as a kid, like morally. Like, yeah, you shouldn't, kill people. You shouldn't hurt animals. Like, it's, kind of obvious things like that. But that's kind of it, though. That was kind of my limit. But everything else, we're not, like, most people are not exposed to that kind of thing. Like, for example, the topic of rape, or the topic of, punishment by death, a capital punishment. I don't know. As a kid, I was not even exposed to those things. So I can't say I have an opinion or not, because I don't even know. And I don't think like most kids are exposed to these things at such an early age. I mean, there is a certain, I don't know, like, I don't have kids, so I can't say if I would expose my kids to that or not. Such an early age, I don't know. I just don't know. But religion is mind abuse, because yeah, at that age, the vast majority of kids are just not capable of critical thinking, or really rational thinking. I don't know. That's just my opinion, but I just don't see it. So if you try to push religion as a fact, the kids just can't, they're just not equipped to counter those arguments. So I would say, yeah, it's mind abuse, absolutely. And of course, the threat of hell as well. You know, if you don't follow these rules, you're gonna like burn in hell. And you know, kids have a very vivid imagination. I mean, I have a vivid imagination too, but I'm a writer, that's why. And I'm a filmmaker as well. I have to, like, it's kind of part of my job to have vivid imagination. But kids have a vivid imagination too, and just picturing themselves like burning forever, and you know, seeing their loved ones burn, it's very vivid, like in their minds. So it sticks. Kids are also like sponges. They absorb everything. And they don't have the ability to process that information properly, like rationally and critically. So, yeah, it's a very dangerous thing to do indeed. And, yeah, the final note I had here is a non-American perspective. I'm not sure why I wrote that note in particular, but I think it just, it just depends on the religion. Oh, now I remember. Okay, so there's a lot of people I talk to who are not Americans. And when the religious topic comes up, usually what they say, well, obviously I say, yeah, I'm an atheist. And, you know, they are some kind of theist. It can be like a Hindu or a Buddhist. I know like a Buddhist. And it could be just anything, really. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just a theist in general. The vast majority of them, they basically say that, well, for me, like, religion is a personal thing. It's a personal faith. So I don't try to force it on other people. And this is an interesting point, and I'll finish on that point because I've gone on for quite a bit in this video. Just ask yourself this question. So if you're an atheist, right? Okay, let's just pretend to ignore that. That's God. Okay, so if you're an atheist, would you be willing to be in a relationship with somebody who is religious? And of course, there are like many categories of religious. So if it's like a super theist, could you be in a relationship with that person or not? Like, for me, no, not at all. But if it's somebody who says, okay, well, my faith is personal, it's just like my thing, and I don't try to push it on others, then it's possible, but I still want to kind of dig into the details. Like, okay, but if we have children, do you want to put them into a religious school, or do you want to put them in a regular school? There's a lot of questions. I would just ask a lot of questions to make sure that there are no problems in the future. But definitely if it's like a super, you know, a super duper theist, no way. I mean, I don't care like you know, she's beautiful, or if there's a lot of lust, sorry, but I just can't. I can't deal with people who don't live in reality world. It's just impossible. And there are, I could say the same about, you know, certain political views as well. There's just no way I could be with certain people who follow other politicians, certain people, certain policies. There's just no way I could, like, if somebody is like a staunch anti-abortionist, for example, and just for like religious reasons, there's no way I could be with that person. No way. It would be like, yeah, but I don't know. I will leave that. So I will leave you on that question. Like, if you're an atheist, Or even if you're a theist, it doesn't matter actually. Like, let's say if you're a hardcore theist, could you be like, could you marry, let's say, an atheist? And it's not about like convincing each other, because that's probably impossible. But it's just like, could you coexist together? Like, if you're trying to really push your views on each other, like, for me, it's not, it's just not possible. But if you think otherwise, let me know in the comments how you think, how you imagine such a relationship would pan out, because I'm curious to know. And yeah, so I will be back later covering some other videos in the future. But for now, that's it. So take care, stay safe. And JC signing off. Peace.